And welcome into the Bruins Beat, presented by Prize Picks. Use that promo code CLNS to get up to $100 matched on your first deposit. And by Game Time, use that promo code CLNS to get $20 off your first pair of tickets. I'm Evan Marinofsky, and joined today, first time with me on Bruins Beat, second time overall, Joe Pajarillas of the Hockey News and NHL.com. Joe, what is up?
Not much. Appreciate you calling me in here today. Obviously, pretty big point in the season and the playoffs coming up here. But yeah, lot to unpack.
Lot to unpack. Figured, you know what, we got to switch up the guests. Bruins are starting to lose this series. I was like, we need a jolt. We need a young gun to come in here, kind of, you know, rattle the cages of guys like Connor and Scott McLaughlin. You know, people who usually we gotta shake the veterans up a little bit, get them going. And that's what you're here for. You're like the Jakub Lauko, except you're a little more. You have better hands than Jakub Lauko. That's the finish a little bit more around the net. So
yeah, well, we'll see. Yeah,
you've got that. But so you're with the Hockey News. You're with NHL.com. Sick mustache too, I must add. That is.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
The playoff mustache is in full effect, I assume.
Yeah, I mean, I played around with it in the middle of the season. Didn't hear much about it. Dropped it for a little bit, then people were wondering where it went. It was sort of like you don't know what you have until it's gone. That's sort of what I felt. And I was like, all right, I guess I'll bring it back for a little bit. And yeah, we'll see how it goes from here. But yeah.
I think it was a couple years ago. As you can tell, I'm not the best at growing facial hair. And I think it was like 2 or 3 years ago for Movember. I was like, because it was, I think it was like 2021. So we were still wearing masks in public places. So I was like, I'm gonna try growing a mustache.
And that's,
I still
have the pictures
on my phone.
It. Yeah.
It is. It is. And no one could see it. Not, you know, I'd take my mask down. People would be like, oh, like, ew, what is that? And so it was not great. It looked like Sidney Crosby when he was younger, when he tried to grow a beard, and it was like, you know, it just was awful. So I haven't tried to since. But people who can do it, because it can certainly look cool. Anyways. Bruins, you know, when I asked you at game five, do you want to come on Bruins Beat? I figured, all right, you know, preview the Florida series, you know, line matchups, not the case at all. Bruins, no show in game five, no show in game six. We're doing this on Friday, entering game seven. What was your reaction to these last two games? What were some of your big takeaways?
I mean, for me, game five, like the way they started out in the first period, like they're up 3-1, they're coming back at home. Mentally, maybe you can kind of expect that slow start, what they had. I mean, they're outshot, like, I think 11-2 in the first period. That kind of expected, dud game, all of that. Game six, that was where I was really surprised, where it was pretty much the same thing, where they didn't get a shot until they were shorthanded. On the first power play, like 11 minutes in, period ended 12-1, very similar story. The fact that for the second game in a row and on the road where they've done better this season, all those factors just led to the same result as game five, where they could feel the pressure, especially after last year. And the fact that they weren't able to string it together again until 30 minutes in or whatever the time was, that was really surprising. The fact that for the second game in a row, they kind of struggled to get off to that start that they were looking for.
I think you're right. And to show up in two elimination games and put out the effort that they did, which was just a complete lack of effort in game five. I mean, noticeably nervous, not making passes, getting hemmed in their own zone in game five. And then game six, I mean, they were a little bit better in the first, but still to get one shot. You know, and I know Toronto was blocking a lot of shots. I know that there were some chances and they were missing the net like crazy. But it's still like you've got to get the puck on net. And Joseph Woll, who comes into this series, right, comes in, no playoff experience before. He's a rookie. And you get two shots on net in the first period in his first playoff game. And that, to me, like, you know, he's been great for them, for sure. But you scored on one of those shots. You scored on one of those shots in game five. Like, you and you know, to me, like, it's the no-show element of it, right? Like, this is a big stage. You have a chance to end the Leafs in both game five and six. And as you said, and you're right to say this, they're better on the road this year. They play a simpler game. They were structured as hell in games three and four. That's why they won those games. And I don't think it's Toronto being that much better you know, and I think, you know, they've made adjustments, like we've talked mm-hmm. about on the post game show. You know, they're clogging up the neutral zone. They're forcing more dump ins. You know, they're quicker on puck carriers in their own zone, which has hurt the Bruins, you know, setting up offense. But those aren't things that you can't overcome. Those are things you can adjust to. Yeah. And so to me, like, that's been, as you said, like the real sticking point of, like, you know, it's not like the Maple Leafs are just like flipped a switch and it's been all systems go. They don't have Matthews. They don't have the best goal scorer in the league right now. And they found a way, you know, I think the Bruins have found a way to just kind of shy away from the moment. And I think that is a really, really disturbing thing going forward.
Yeah. And I mean, to the same point as Matthews, I think they mentioned today at their media availability, they've noticed sort of the change in Toronto's game, that they've sort of simplified things. And, you know, not to say that, oh, the only reason Toronto's winning is because of what they're doing. Like, these types of changes, like, if you notice what they're doing with their game, you know, whether they're simplifying it or whatever's going on, the fact that they don't have the top scorer in the league, that, I mean, that's just, if you're able to dissect those or sort of figure out what their changes are, you know, the fact that they're clogging up the zone a little bit more, wouldn't it be maybe not easier, but simpler to sort of diagnose the issue and, you know, change it and, you know, impact your game to sort of counteract what they're doing.
That's the thing. And I think that's the thing that is pissing everybody off. And it's that, you know, it's them, it's the Bruins. Like, the Bruins are doing this to themselves. This is not, you know, something the Leafs are doing. And, you know, props to Sheldon Keefe. Like, you know, he takes Reeves out of the lineup, but puts Gregor in, and, you know, he adds a little spark. And, but again, like, how did the Leafs score their one goal prior to the third period in game six? Just a little shot from the point, from sustained ozone time. It bounces off McAvoy and in. Like, mm-hmm. that's the kind of thing. And that's what this series has been. It's been super low scoring. And, you know, I thought that would benefit the Bruins, and it did for the first four games. But the Bruins 5-on-5 offense has been non-existent. And what's really been non-existent is any real good play from the top six outside of Marchand mm-hmm. this series. I mean, Marchand was great in those first four games, but, you know, the last two for him, he's been a little bit less impactful. And I think over the course of the series, Pasternak has been really invisible at times. Zacha, no goals now in 18 career playoff games. Coyle, I don't think, has any 5-on-5 points in this series. You know, you just haven't gotten anything. And I think it starts with Pasternak. And I think, mm-hmm. you know, Montgomery called him out after game six. That's not something he normally does. And you know, I think it feels like that's like a break glass in case of emergency type move for Montgomery, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely, I'm trying to think of maybe other times in this year where he's really, you know, singled guys out. It's not a normal thing to do, but I mean, at this point, the way you see momentum slipping away, and sort of as you mentioned, I wrote about this in some other stories I was writing after last night. Geeky's goal with, you know, 0.1 seconds left, however much, that was the only point from the top six forwards in each of the past two games.
That's
so that
incredible.
Lack of scoring from the top six, I mean, is just really apparent. And it starts with Pasternak. He was the leading scorer by however many points. I mean, he had over 100 points this season. He's the engine. If he's not going, and obviously, you know, as you mentioned, Marchand was sort of pulling the weight earlier in the series. But, you know, it's one thing if one guy's sort of pulling the weight while the other guys are waiting to catch up. But it's got to start with Pasternak sort of coming in and having a Austin Matthews game two type of performance to pull the team to a win and sort of take that win that you'd expect for your star players to do.
You need it from him, and it hasn't been there, and the effort mm-hmm. hasn't been, or the compete, you know, simple things like that, you know. And I know, like, again, in a playoff series, obviously you game plan around star players, you look to shut them down, you're more physical on them, of course. But I mean, the Panthers did that last year to Pasternak, and he had two goals in game six and a goal in game seven. Like, you can do that. He can do that. And I don't know what it is. Like, is there an injury we don't know about? You know, what is it? But he's getting knocked off the puck easy. Plays are dying on his stick. The routes into the offensive zone are not good. Like, there's a lot of things there where there's just no impact. And, like, even it felt like on, I think he had four shots on net in game six, and a lot of them were just from the perimeter. I remember there was one where it was kind of a one-timer from near the blue line. And it's like, well, like, what did you expect? And so there's no offensive zone creation. There's no, you know, and again, it's interesting because like, I thought last night that Martian Coil Geeky line did get some things going at 5-on-5 at times. They didn't score, obviously, but I thought there was it. But I haven't even seen that at all from the Zacha line with Pasternak. And I think that's a really concerning thing because, you know, can he just flip a switch and do what he's used to doing in game seven? Or is this kind of a thing where, you know, he's just not visible in this series? And I think that, you know, I think they're, if they're going to win on Saturday, if Pasternak shows up, and you can throw Martian in there too. I think you, if the Bruins want any chance at winning that game, those two are going to have outstanding games. I think if those two don't show up, I don't see the Bruins having a good chance. I'm curious what you think about that.
Yeah, I mean, that's sort of the point you're talking about with the type of shots that Pasternak was taking. That was the one thing that Montgomery pointed out this afternoon, is that the biggest thing that he wants to see on the offensive side is getting inside the dots, playing inside the dots, becoming more of a threat, which we didn't really see that much of from anybody on the offense, with the, you know, except for maybe a few plays here and there. It's getting on the inside. That's sort of what they want to do, create traffic in front of wall. I mean, they've made it relatively easy on him based on, you know, what they've been offering up. So I think that finding a way to get guys inside and establishing the real estate there, that's going to be the step forward. And, you know, you got to bring the extra element beyond that and go beyond that. But, that's where they're going to look to start. And, you know, we'll see if they'll actually do it, or if it's just, you know, another thing that they say and can't follow through on.
Yeah. All the meetings that they're going to have in between games, they're going to fix everything. Right. Not go on the ice. I want to get into game seven because I think everyone's kind of looking past game seven, myself included. The post game show after game six, we spent like 20 minutes just on like what happens if they lose, like what if they choke this. And I was like, wait a minute, we actually have veered way away, but it was fine. I mean, it's a good, you know, we're gonna have that conversation a lot if things go south on Saturday. We're gonna get into game seven, but first a quick word from our friends over at Prize Picks. Quick break in the action to tell you about my good friends over at Prize Picks. Prize Picks has something for every sports fan, from basketball and hockey to League of Legends and everything in between. You can pick LeBron, Caitlin Clark, Connor McDavid, and Jude Bellingham all in the same entry. Prize Picks is really simple to play. I can make my picks and submit my entry in less than 60 seconds. And the best part? Quick withdrawals and it's easy gameplay and an enormous selection of players and stat types are what make Prize Picks the number one fantasy sports app. As the Bruins playoffs roll on, I'm liking the pick of Jeremy Swayman more saves. He's just been so good of late. And you know what? I also like Jake DeBrusk more goals. So download the app today and use code CLNS for a first deposit match up to $100. Again, download the app today and use code CLNS for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. Now, back to the show. So I think long-term ramifications of Game 7, if they did lose, right? And I feel, how do you feel going into Game 7? What's your vibe on this?
I felt good going into Game 6, sort of what we, you know, were talking about earlier about get the, you know, stinker out of the way in Game 5, come back on the road. Now, I mean, they keep pushing away the notion of like, we're not dwelling on last year, we're not, but the way the script is playing, I mean, it's just, on one hand, it's the Leafs and the, you know, Bruins, Leafs, Game 7. We know how that's gone for the past 10 years, but I don't know how you can look at the past two games and feel good about what's going to happen in Game 7 if you're the Bruins. Obviously, it's a new game, depending on how they start out. You know, I think that's going to be the real key, how they look in the first 5-10 minutes. But going in, no, I mean, it's not a... Don't feel good if you're rooting for the Bruins, but
no, you can't. And I agree with you. If you're going off the last two games, you can't. I think the only way you feel somewhat good about this is, number one, they're the Leafs. It's a choke off, right? I mean, these are two teams that have not been good in elimination games. Of late, the Bruins have not won a game seven since 2019 in the first round, which 2019 is sneaking out like 5 years ago,
yeah.
Which is makes young guys like us feel old. But the other part, there's that. The other element, though, you know, during this regular season, the Bruins would have good stretches and then have bad stretches. They'd have stretches where it's like, what are they doing? Like, you know, there's just no fire. There's no energy. I remember around the trade deadline, they had an extended stretch where it was like, do they like need to sell? And I think with like, is this series a sort of a combination of that where you have the first four games, obviously game two, the exception, but, you know, for three of four in the first and looking good and structured and disciplined, and then two complete duds. And like, is there any way they pull out of it for seven? So to me, like, those are the only two real things you have to go off of where it's like, oh, Bruins are in good shape. And you have Swayman, right? Swayman's played outstanding. There's no reason to think he won't do that again in game seven. I think last year definitely sticks in his head of, you know, what happened there. He stayed here during the summer. And I know that that had a big impact on him. But you just look at the way they're playing, right? No fire up front. The pressure is on them. Like, the pressure was so on the Leafs after game four. Like, you know, I remember Chris Johnson wrote a story in The Athletic being like, are they done? They need to trade Marner. Like, you know, Sheldon Keefe is gone. You know, up all the goaltending, all that stuff. And the script has flipped. And now we're having those conversations. Now it's, you know, Montgomery is coaching for his job. And I think that is true. Like, we can get into roster stuff later on. But I think the big takeaway for me for Saturday is he is 100% coaching for his job.
Yeah, I mean, it's weird to say that, like, just, you know, the idea of it at first, just because look at the season they had last year. Obviously, you know, they fell apart in the first round. And then given all the changes, the fact that they were able to play as well as they did, nobody expected them to do as well as they have as a whole after all the departures from last season. So looking at that part of it, you know, it wouldn't appear that way, but if you're up 3-1, two series in a row, and blow both of them, I mean, that's just, I don't know how you recover from that, just as, you know, as they're looking to next year and what they can change. I mean, it's weird to think that, you know, because, you know, last week or even a few days ago, that wouldn't have really been the notion, but the way it's played out, I mean, I agree. I think that's sort of the conversations that they're going to have if worse comes to worse for Boston tomorrow.
It is. And I think that's the tough part is, you know, he has these two great regular seasons. You know, last year overperforms with a roster last year that was stacked in the end. But going in, there were a lot of questions, you know, about that roster, I remember, and people saying, oh, maybe they won't make the playoffs. They end up being like the best regular season team ever. And you have real cup aspirations. You're the cup favorite. You win the President's Trophy. And then even this year, you know, I mean, that was it still isn't a great roster on paper. I mean, I think it's fine for what they had cap space wise. They had to replace a lot of pieces, you know, the Moneyball Bruins kind of thing. And he made it work, and props to him, but you can't blow two straight 3-1 leads. They would be the first team in the NBA, the MLB, the NHL, and the NFL. Well, not the NFL. That doesn't make sense.
Well, technically the NFL, but yes.
Technically, the NFL, too. No one in the NFL has blown a 3-1 lead two straight years.
Yeah.
But in the leagues where you have those types of series, no team has blown a 3-1 lead two straight years. And when we were growing up, I remember, wasn't it the Warriors who blew a 3-1 lead? That was like a meme for like a good year.
Yeah.
Did that twice. And, you know, again, coaches get fired for much less. Playoff success matters. I know that even though this year they were, you know, kind of a transition team, you get 109 points. You're in first place most of the year. You have expectations. You got to at least get past the first round. And I think, you know, again, I think it'd be one thing if they went into the first round and got like crushed, you know, if they lost in five games, like, all right, well, the roster fell back to earth, you know, but to be up 3-1, and that's kind of where, and I'm seeing more rumblings about this from different writers and social media, which isn't always the best thing to go off of social media. I don't always want to go off Twitter. But there's a lot of talk of, you know, is it a deeper issue than the coach? And that's where I think people are onto something. Like, I do think it is a deeper issue than that. I don't think it is just Jim Montgomery. It is not, you know, oh, get another coach in there and it's perfect. Because there were some of these issues with Cassidy. They had trouble in closeout games. They had trouble in home playoff games. You know, and again, they looked nervous in game five. You look at people like Hampus Lindholm, who can't, this is two straight playoffs where he just has a really tough time breaking the puck out of his own zone. You know, McAvoy with mental mistakes, and, you know, you look up front with just, you know, no urgency, no ability to go in the offensive zone. And it's like, is that coaching? Yeah, that's definitely coaching, and Montgomery will take the fall if they lose, but it's also on the guys. Like, it's on the roster, and it's on those guys to step up in those big moments, and, like, Swayman has done that. But to me, like, nobody has stepped forward in either of these last two games to step up, and I think, you know, you're going to need a couple, at least, to step up in game seven, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it's you can't just put it all on the coach. I mean, but it's kind of just a bizarre conversation to have, because everywhere around the league, and with my work with NHL.com, I'm going to the visiting locker rooms a lot after the game.
That's right. You're always going to enemy territory.
Yeah, and so a vast majority of the time, if the other team is losing, they'll talk about how the Garden's a difficult place to play, and just the fact that the Bruins have, you know, this culture, you know, Bruins culture, it's something that is respected around the league, and why they've been able to be a consistent playoff team despite, you know, changeover with the roster every few years and different coaches coming in. That's sort of been a consistent thing. The fact that, I don't know if you can call it a culture thing, but the fact that, I mean, if they lose on Saturday, then that kind of becomes part of, like, the deal, if it's not already, just the fact that they've taken that lead's been evaporated to begin with. But it's just a wild conversation to have based on the context around this team and just sort of how everyone views them from the outside.
I guess it's such a tough place to play. Even the home team can't play in it, which is
right. Yeah.
That's a blast. You know, if people want to go to game seven, if people want to buy tickets for game seven, go visit our friends over at Game Time. Quick break to tell you about my good friends over at Game Time. I am very excited about the NBA playoffs. And what's awesome is here in Boston, TD Garden is the best atmosphere for a playoff game. Thankfully, we have Game Time, which is an authorized ticket marketplace of the NBA, which makes playoff tickets even faster and easier. Prices on the Game Time app actually go down the closer it gets to the tip-off. And with killer last-minute deals, all-in prices, views from your seat, and their lowest price guarantee, Game Time takes the guesswork out of buying NBA tickets. Maybe it's the NBA playoffs or it's the NHL playoffs. The same is true with the Bruins. TD Garden gets so fun during this time of year, and you want to be there. The Bruins and Celtics are in pursuit of championships, and as the rounds go on, the crowd gets better and better. Nothing beats it. And with Game Time, there's last-minute deals. Save up to 60% off buying last-minute tickets for sports, concerts, comedy, theater. There's flash deals. Save even more with exclusive in-app deals on select seats ahead of the game or event. And there are zone deals. Save even more when you choose a section and let Game Time choose the seats. Again, take the guesswork out of buying NBA tickets and head over to Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code CLNS for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code, again, CLNS. I can't be more clear about that. Use code CLNS for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. Now, back to the show. So, we've talked, you know, about things that need to change, right? Got to be better on faceoffs. You need more from your top six. Show up on time. Get more than two shots in the is it going to be now, like, they get two shots in the first period in game five, one in game six, and then just zero in game seven? Like, you know, we're just gonna
if that's the case, then I think we just pack it up and head to the media room, and
we're good. Know. We're done here. There is a little, like, one other thing I mentioned earlier. There are two reasons to be optimistic if you're a Bruins fan. I'll add a third. You know, we'll add another little positive in there. I said after game four that it felt like the Leafs hit rock bottom. And when you hit rock bottom, the only way to go is up. And that's what they've done, right? Feels like the Bruins are at rock bottom. Now, they could find a way to make it even lower on Saturday. But if game six is really rock bottom, I don't know. Maybe they come out better. So there is that too. There's that too. Lineup wise, Montgomery mysteriously changed the lineup after two straight wins. They've not won since. He changed it back to what it was, pretty much what it was in game four last night in game six. What lineup changes, if any, would you make going into game seven?
I think, well, part of it depends on the health of Heinen, which has kind of been a bit of an unknown. I feel like that he had some maintenance days at practice and then played, but then came, I don't know. There's a whole thing with that. So if he's healthy, I think he goes back in, and it's tough to say you take out probably Brazo. I mean, not that I think he's been horrible, but I think adding that, he just hasn't shown as much of that scoring touch that I think Heinen can bring in those situations, depending on, you know, how you want to line those guys up. And I mean, they've been losing the faceoff battle a lot, so I don't know if, you know, part of the reason why Beecher's in the lineup is to win those faceoffs. So if he's not doing that, he penalty kills too, so that's an important aspect with him. But yeah, I think aside from that, maybe you shuffle the lines a little bit. The defense, with Peak out, I think you don't really, there's not really much to touch there. You know, Grizzlick, I wouldn't put him back in either. And I think you just kind of have to roll with what you have there from what's left.
You keep Swayman for game seven?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I would.
I bet, yeah.
Because you can't worry about, you know, how much rest Ullmark is going to have. He's already sat for a long time anyway. And based on the way Swayman's played, I don't think you can take him out. Even though you lost the last two games, he's, you know, been playing super well. I don't see a reason. You can't worry about next game. And I think he gives you the best chance based on how he's played recently to get you to that next game.
Should be Swayman. I don't think there's any debate about that. Up front, I think you got to get a little faster. And you got to be a little quicker on forechecks and things like that. The Bruins did not do that, have not done that well enough the last two games. I would consider Jakub Lauko for a guy like Pat Maroon. And I know Maroon brings veteran presence. I like it. I think it's great. But Ryan Reeves was taken out. Reeves was out near the dressing room for the Leafs, like cheering him on and stuff. If Maroon can do something similar, I think that's awesome. I like Maroon's puck protection and all that stuff when he has the puck on his stick in the O-zone. But I like the havoc that Lauko can bring for a game. You need to win a game. You need to pressure Toronto's D. I like what Lauko can do. That's one. And then you're right about the health of Heinen. If he can go, does he go in for Brazeau? Does he go in for Van Riemsdyk? For game seven, I kind of want a guy like Van Riemsdyk in there. You know, he's been there.
He's
on the other side of it in 2013. but he's been there. And I think, you know, you can rely on him a little bit as a veteran player. So for me, it would either be Heinen in for one of Brazo or Van Riemsdyk. And then on D, I'm not touching anything. I like Grizzlick. I like what he brings, moving the puck out of his own zone, all that stuff. I just think that you won with that decor in games three and four, and I think you just got to stick with it and you got to roll with it and hope it works. And I think that's really all you can do. And it goes back to like, why change the lineup going into game five? I didn't understand it then. I don't understand it now. And again, I like Grizzlick. So I was fine with Grizzlick going in, but it's like, you've won two straight games. Why are you futzing with this? And so, you know, it's a big reason they're in this spot. And I think that's really all you can do. And you know, they got to win faceoffs. They've got to win faceoffs, whether that's Beecher stepping up like he has in the past. Zaka was awful on draws last. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but it was embarrassingly low. Was it like 9 of 10 he lost?
It was, I don't have the numbers. Yeah, I don't recall specifically, but it was something. Yeah, something along those lines. Yeah.
It was awful. And so again, like, you know, we can get into his future and things like that, but you just need to win draws. You need to come out firing, and that's really all you can do for game seven. So do you want to make a prediction for what happens in game seven?
You know what? Why not? The vibes were not good. I feel like I wouldn't be surprised at either result if they, you know, turn around and win it. I'm going to go Leafs 3-2 in overtime.
Ooh, I like that. I mean, I don't, you know, love the result, but yeah. I like that you went that bold. You ever watch Seinfeld? You a Seinfeld guy?
Not as much, like, not regularly, but I've seen a bunch of episodes, yeah.
Do you know, like, the storyline, The Opposite, where George starts to do the opposite of what he, like, do you know that whole storyline?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's kind of what I, like, it's this series, every game I've been like, they're going to lose, like, in the first four games, mm-hmm. and they won three of the four. And then after that, I was like, oh, this series, you know, in my own head, I'm like, well, it's probably done soon. And they've lost both. So I have the Bruins losing in game seven. That's my gut. So I want to go against it, but I'm going to stick with the Bruins lose in game seven. And I'll say 3-1. Bruins lose 3-1. That's what I think happens. The Leafs win 3-1 in game seven. I also go off of, like, this would be now four times the Bruins have beat the Leafs in a game seven. Like, at some point, the Leafs have to overcome it.
Yeah.
And with the way the Bruins look down and out right now, you know, you can only play with fire so much. And I just think that that's where they're at. I hope I'm wrong. I hope we cover a second round. Cause for us, it's great, right? It's fun. Get to cover another round. Playoffs are a blast. And when it ends, it's like, all right, now we got to talk and write about the off season for three extra weeks that we normally wouldn't have to do. So hopefully things turn around. Joe, what can the people look forward to from you over at the Hockey News and NHL.com?
Well, that mainly depends on how much further the Bruins go, I'd say, at least for, you know, in the immediate future. As long as they're still in, then usually write-ups about both teams or maybe news stories on both teams with NHL.com. I do a lot of stuff with the visiting side as well, just to sort of, you know, be all hands on deck for them. So if they do make it, you know, to the second round, some stuff about Florida, looking at them, obviously other stories about the Bruins. And then with the Hockey News, that's fully about the Bruins, so that'll be like the full off-season coverage if we get there on Saturday or, you know, whenever that may come. So either of those sites, that's where you'll find most of my stuff.
You'll have a story up on Sunday morning, just like five centers the Bruins should target in the offseason.
Right.
Like, damn it, like, already we're doing this. Anyways, Joe, thanks for coming on for the first time with me, at least. We'll have to have you on again.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, glad to be here.
Of course. And Bruins Beat listeners, you can look for the Bruins post-game show after hopefully more games. I almost gonna say every game, but at least after Saturday's game, you can come vent. A lot of people were venting after game six last night, which was fun. A lot of the comments, a lot of Leafs fans coming in and taunting Bruins fans, which was, you know, always a blast.
Yeah.
But you can look forward to the post-game shows. And that's it. That's this week's Bruins Beat. You Bruins Beat listeners, try your best to have a great rest of your week. Teenage Wayne.